اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليًا وحافظًا وقائدًا وناصرًا ودليلًا وعينًا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعًا وتمتعه فيها طويلًا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور، السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار يا أبا عبد الله. لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام، وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت، ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها، ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم، ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم، برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة، ولعن الله ابن مرجان، ولعن الله عمر بن سعد، ولعن الله شمرا، ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك بأبي أنت وأمي. لقد عظم مصابي بك، فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة. يا أبا عبد الله، إني أتقرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاتك وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس ذلك. وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشياعكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم، وأتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بموالاتكم وموالات وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحارب وبالبراءة من أشياعهم وأتباعهم. إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم. فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة، وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة، وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله، وأن يرزقني طلب ثاركم مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم، وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام. وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد، ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن يوم عاشوراء يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد، اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد ابن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين. ويوم عاشوراء يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعن منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله، اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني، وابدأ به أولا، ثم لعن الثاني والثالث والرابع. اللهم لعن يزيد خامسا، ولعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجانه وعمر بن سعد وشمرا وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. سجدة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم، الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود، وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. صلوات. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيدنا وسيد الخلق أجمعين، حبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Muharram is a season that we have gotten accustomed to discussing historic matters, whereas, as we have mentioned on multiple occasions, it is a time that Imam al-Hussein, with his movements that did occur in the year 61 of the Hijri calendar, which is in the past, but has affected us and has brought us on a path leading to the coming of the Imam of our time. And therefore, Muharram is a time of bringing Islam to life in the current context. Without any further intros, I think this was enough to explain why, in the context of Muharram, I want to say a few words that are related to the conditions that the world is dealing with. I'm sure everybody's following the news, a Husseini perspective needs to be presented, and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to present a Husseini perspective in regards to what is happening. Today, one of the U.S. officials has said that the Shahada, in our words, in their words, the killing of Hajj Qasim, and they only mention him, they don't mention Hajj Abu Mahdi, and they don't mention anyone else. We mention all of them. That operation of theirs, that assassination, that crime of theirs, has not made America or the world a safer or better place, and it has made things more difficult for the U.S. And it's made that region less safe for the U.S. This is the U.S. government confessing, despite them acting like they are still the superpower, the ones who control everything. They are coming out openly announcing to the world that what the leader said, and after him, in line with what the leader said, what Said Hassan mentioned in Lebanon, is moving forward, and the Americans are finding it more difficult to stay in the region of the Muslimin. That was announced to be the vengeance that is worthy, removing the evil presence of the United States of America in what they call the Middle East, is a worthy vengeance for Hajj Qasim's blood, to remove that evil from the Middle East. Of course, it hasn't come to that point where it's entirely removed. However, it shows that the believers are hard at work and they are moving forward, and it shows that the taghut of the time is finding it more difficult to deal with the believers. The believers are getting stronger. These guys, on the other hand, are getting weaker. And I don't think that's something that can be hidden. One of the other things that has happened recently is the U.S. pulling out of Afghanistan. This matter, Sayyid Hassan mentioned, is an important matter. Unfortunately, we haven't heard the leader speak, and I have guesses regarding why he hasn't spoken on the matter yet. But Sayyid Hassan has spoken. He mentioned certain points regarding that. I hope those who can get a hold of what he has said to go ahead and do so, and to see what this pious leader of the Mu'mineen and Muslimin, under the leadership of our leader Ayatollah Khamenei, has mentioned. Someone who is informed, wise, and pious, and courageous. One of the points that he mentioned, which I need to remind believers and present those who've heard, emphasize on this, those who haven't heard, let them know that this event of the U.S. leaving Afghanistan is a very, very important event. I don't want to use this as a time to say, oh yeah, see, they were defeated, look, they had to leave, they're running from, all of that is true, but that's not the point that I'm trying to make here. There's something that is, I think, worthy of notice for all of us, a lesson for us to take. I looked back at some of the speeches of Ayatollah Khamenei earlier on. If you do the timeline, it's around the time of the collapse of the Soviet Union. The collapse of the Soviet Union, or more importantly, the Soviet Union before its collapse within its own borders, leaving Afghanistan. When the USSR, or the Soviets, when they entered Afghanistan, the Islamic Republic, led by Imam Khomeini, was against them. They supported any mujahid that wanted to be a mujahid fi sabilillah, fighting the Soviets. despite the Islamic Republic themselves being engaged in a full-fledged war that was worse than what was happening in Afghanistan, in ways at least. Imam Khomeini did not hold back. Some of his advisors were thinking on material terms, and they said, it's best if we don't engage with the USSR on that front as well, because the USSR was already involved in the front that the Islamic Republic was dealing with. They were supplying Saddam with weapons, as were the Americans, as were the French, as were the British, as were the Germans, and anyone else who had anything to offer. They all brought that to Saddam, la'natullah alayh. And the USSR was already involved against the Islamic Republic in that war, and prior to that in other ways. Now, in the case of Afghanistan, they thought that this could be a way of at least maybe not escalating the tensions, or maybe even using it as an opportunity to get closer to the Soviets and just get some basic needs and requirements for the war, like barbed wire, that basic, very basic item on the list that is necessary. Maybe they can use that. Imam Khomeini said, no, we have Islamic responsibilities. Our brethren, our believing brothers and sisters of whatever sect, they are Muslimin. This is Muslim land. It has been invaded by kuffar. Some of the worst of the kuffar. They were openly against any religion, Christianity, Islam, whatever. The USSR, not the Russian. The Russian government currently is a whole different thing. The USSR collapsed. That was the end of this ridiculous ideology of Karl Marx, that fool that is in hellfire for his ridiculous ideology. Imam Khomeini said, we have taklif, we have responsibilities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow us, even if we're suffering. That doesn't mean that we don't have any responsibilities towards our brothers and sisters. No, we have our responsibilities. The least is to speak out against them on an international platform, as Imam Khomeini did. And beyond that, whatever support we can offer, we are in difficult times ourselves and so on and so forth, whatever we can, we should offer. Imam Khomeini did that. They fought the Soviets. It's important for people to know this history. I'm presenting this. This is not just out of the blue something coming out. It's important for us to know. The Mujahideen, the real believers of Afghanistan, defeated the Soviets, and the Soviets had to leave. However, the Americans obviously were not going to lose Afghanistan, that now they had kicked the Soviets out. They weren't going to lose it to the Mu'mineen of Afghanistan, or in their words, to the Islamic Republic, to the Iranians. That's what that's how they worded. They think everybody's like them. There's a Farsi saying, "Kafir hamero bikisho khud pindarat." Every kafir thinks everybody else is a kafir as well. These people milk nations, steal from nations, milk the officials they put in place in those nations, and they don't care about who gets destroyed, who gets crushed under their pressure. They don't give a damn about any of that. If they say they support the Saudis, they're with the Saudis, or with Israel even, or with any nation, or with any government official anywhere in the world, they care nothing about that nation or that person. They think the Islamic Republic led by Imam Khomeini and after him, Ayatollah Khomeini, is that way. You know, they're helping the Afghan Mujahideen because they want influence in Afghanistan. Others are not like you. Don't think others behave the way you do. These are mu'mineen. On both sides of the border, the Mujahideen fought for Allah, just like the Mujahideen from Afghanistan that came to the Islamic Republic and fought against Saddam in the Islamic Republic. The Mu'mineen on both sides of the border, they know they need to help each other to say that, no, this is not my country. That Mu'mineen don't think that way. These are Mu'mineen. We need to assist them. It's their country. We don't want their land. Their land is their land. We take care of our area, they take care of their area, but we need to help each other. When they need help, we got to provide them. If we need help, we're not going to ask, but if they are also mu'mineen, if they think that we need help, they're going to come, and they did. They did. The same way that both Iranians and Afghans or Afghanis or Afghanistanis There's different preferences in regards to that. And Pakistanis and Iraqis and Lebanese came to Syria and assisted the believers in Syria. This is how our ideology works. The believers, it's important to note that the believers kicked out the Soviets. But the Americans that were there, they didn't want the believers to take over after the Soviets. And while the war against the Soviets were happening, they had their own phony mujahideen like Osama bin Laden that Hillary Clinton has mentioned that they did support against the Saudis. What mujahid is a person that's supported by the great Satan? What type of a mujahid is that? A mujahid that is supported by the great Satan is not mujahid fi sabilillah. If anything, they would be identified as mujahid fi sabil shaytan, fi sabil iblis. And in fact, the word mujahid is not even used. They are tughat. They are fasaqah, if they're even Muslim. What support from the Americans? Anyway, the Americans were there. They started creating fitna, and this is where that speech I was referring to, Ayatollah Khamenei made references after they assisted, and the Afghanistanis, the Islamic Republic supported, but the Afghans themselves kicked the Soviets out. It wasn't the Iranians that kicked them out. The Iranians, of course, supported. It was their responsibility, any believer's responsibility. But the Afghans, they defeated the Soviets. Now that they defeated the Soviets, instead of uniting and forming a government of the believers in Afghanistan, the Americans were able to use the ethnic sectarian divides and other motives as well. They created division. And unfortunately, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I granted you victory until you started disputing with one of these disputes. You started fighting each other, infighting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that victory. The believers had defeated the Soviets. The country was theirs. After so many years of it being under the influence of one superpower or the next, before those wars, it was the British that had influence at some point, the Russians before the USSR. And then now the Soviets are kicked out. Everybody's out. Instead of now being thankful to Allah for removing those tyrants and ruling their country based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, unfortunately they fell for the trap of the Americans, the leaders of the Mujahideen. They started disputing with one another. I don't know the details of that and who is really to blame, which ones were, they remain true, but unity is something that all parties need to be involved in. If some stay true to that, but the others continuously go against that, then what happens in the Battle of Uhud is going to happen. The Prophet was there, Amir al-Mu'mineen was there, but they're not the only parties involved. When the others started disputing with one another, and they escaped and they left, they fled, then the battle is lost, although the Prophet is there. No one can be better than the Prophet. There were believers, probably they did their share, they did their taklif, they performed their obligations in that context, but some didn't, unfortunately. And the result was a victory against the Soviets turned into a dispute. The Americans exploited that, and they brought in the Taliban. And then when they thought it was ripe for them to reap the benefits of that, they attacked the country in the name of attacking those that they supported themselves, even up to the point of their attack and their invasion of Afghanistan. They were still supporting those people. This is a history that is less spoken of, and it's important for us to know. And it's something to remember and learn from all believers. The ones that God mentions in the Quran, they were Arabs. In the Battle of Uhud, they're the companions of the Prophet, they're Arabs. God says, I gave you, I promised you victory when you fight, and I gave it to you until وَاخْتَلَفْتُمْ اِخْتَلَفْ fitna between you. You divided. You started fighting each other. that's when the victory was removed. Those were Arabs. These are Afghans. Anyone else, anyone that does it, any believer, just like the first part of that, any believer with bare hands, if they want to do jihad fi sabilillah, just like that victory against the Soviets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the victory. See that? That great victory that was given to the Afghan people, the Mujahideen of Afghanistan. It was given, just like the Battle of Uhud. God says, we gave it to you. But then when you ikhtalaftum, when you start fighting each other, this guy's this, I don't want to mention the various ethnicities in Afghanistan. It doesn't matter. Any one of them accusing the other or feeling a negative feeling towards the other, whatever they're called. I know some of them, maybe not all of them. I know many of them. They're all believers. You're all the children of Adam. We are all the children of Adam. Ikhtilaf causes a victory that has been granted to be taken away. God mentions it in the context of the Arabs. We see it in the context of Afghans. And it doesn't matter. It's believers are granted victory, and then their behavior turns into this. This is an important part of the recent history. This was mentioned by Ayatollah Khamenei publicly in his speeches, which are on an international platform. And so this was keeping in mind everything that was happening at that point. The Americans came in, they invaded with various goals. There's speeches of Biden in the past before he was president that are available. And in them he mentioned that we don't even have a clear goal. Well, they mentioned that there isn't a clear objective. Of course, they did have a clear objective. They just at some point realized that that's just not something they can accomplish. Their clear objective was to get rid of the Islamic Republic. That was their objective. They thought they could surround the Islamic Republic and end the Islamic Republic. Take Afghanistan and attack Iraq, cut off Syria, destroy Hezbollah, and get rid of the Islamic movement and control the Muslim region, the Muslim nations, and the way they want. That was their objective. And then what I mean by Islamic Republic is not just the Iranian government. It's the Islamic movement. Some call it the Axis of Muqawama, but it's led by the system of Wilayatul Faqih in the Islamic Republic. But it's not about those borders and, you know, necessarily every single person in that, within those borders. It's about this movement that is led by the leadership of initially Imam Khomeini, then by Ayatollah Khamenei's, and it's all believers coming together, realizing that this is the Naib of the 12th Imam, whether it's in Afghanistan, believers realizing that in various ways, various degrees, or in Iraq, or in Yemen, or in Lebanon, or in Syria, wherever else. They wanted to get rid of this, but that was something they couldn't attain. It wasn't something they could accomplish. Anything else, like what are you doing in Afghanistan? There isn't any other goal that you can pinpoint and say, okay, we accomplished this. So they made up these images of bin Laden. God knows if they're true or not. Some have questioned. They said they're photoshopped. They didn't really kill the guy. I don't know. I haven't done any research. I don't care who the hell was Osama bin Laden to begin with. Who in the world is he? Why does it even matter? They made this Hollywood star of the evil world. They put a beard on him, called him Osama bin Laden, put him in all cartoons, movies, news outlets, all of that. This figure that we never really saw him talking anywhere, doing anything. Something they created in the media. Then when they wanted, they said, we killed him. And then Barack Hussein Obama, was like, yeah, we accomplished our goal. Got to put something to, and it's okay, we're going to be leaving soon. But then again, they know if they leave, the main objective was, which was to weaken the believers, to weaken Islam, to weaken the Islamic movement that is alive within all the people, all the Muslimin, all the people of that region, whether it's Afghanistan or Pakistan or even India, Southeast Asia, Northern Africa, it's there and it's alive. It's alive. They know if they leave, there's going to be trouble. They need to have plans. They develop plans. None of them worked. Eventually, it's just too expensive and there's just no exit strategy. We can't have an exit strategy. They had to leave. And this is the next thing. that now we come to today, what has been happening, the recent events that have been taking place in Afghanistan, and I'm sure you've been following up. You've seen things on the media. It's important for believers to know what you see on Western American media, whether it's NPR and PBS that you think they're unbiased. They're the most biased channels you can find. It's just that they're a little more clever compared to Fox and CNN. CNN is not as clever as NPR and PBS. Whatever you see there is not the truth. Okay, that's not the reality. You have to look for a reliable source. One of the reliable sources you can always trust is Sayyid Hassan. He's both very pious, and he's courageous to say whatever needs to be said, and he's informed. He has intelligence. He has intelligence. Channels that are trustworthy. Obviously, the leader, and perhaps some of the media outlets of those countries that are connected to either the leadership or to Sayyid Hassan or to Hashd al-Shaabi, one of these sources that we can trust, either some of those leaders mentioning something that are trustworthy or outlets connected to them where we can trust. In the recent events that have been taking place, and we need to be aware as Muslimin, as mu'mineen, concerned about our brothers and sisters, we need to be aware. What are we doing? Very briefly, I want to describe the scene and the situation in Afghanistan. The U.S. knows that it couldn't accomplish what it set out to accomplish. Now, they want to get out in the least expensive way. They want to get out with the least repercussions. How do they accomplish that? Said Hassan mentioned. What was their plan to accomplish that? They kept going back and forth with Taliban, on one hand meeting them, and then when the Islamic Republic officials meet them, like, oh, they're supporting Taliban. Well, you guys supported Taliban, and now you're negotiating with them. And then when the Islamic Republic, which is their neighbor, is negotiating with them, you're saying, oh, these guys are supporting Taliban. You guys created Taliban. You guys supported Taliban. Now you're negotiating with Taliban. On one hand, showing that, giving mixed signals in regards to Taliban, they're bad, but we're negotiating. We're negotiating regarding what? On the other hand, there's a government that they helped set up in Afghanistan. They helped. The government in Afghanistan is really not what the Americans wanted in Afghanistan. Bi-idhnillah ta'ala, with the efforts of the believers in Afghanistan, the government in Afghanistan, although it wasn't ideally what the Muslimin and Mu'mineen of Afghanistan would want, and I'm not referring to the Taliban, obviously. That's not something that we support in the sense of, you know, considering this a good. Yes, the members, we disagree with them, but the members are Muslim. They're Muslimin. But anyhow, the Mu'mineen, the Muslimin that are looking at the sources of Islam, what God wants, and the Mu'mineen in Afghanistan want what God wants. It's not that the government that the Americans helped establish, but it wasn't what the Americans wanted. It wasn't. In various ways, it wasn't. But they had their influence. So they put this government there, and they made it seem like, on one hand, they're supporting them. On the other hand, they're negotiating with the Taliban, not allowing the Afghan officials that they are supposedly supporting to be part of those negotiations, creating suspicion. These guys don't know what those guys are hearing. The Taliban don't know what the government is hearing, the government of Afghanistan. All of this is to create that ikhtilaf again. The Americans wanted to leave Afghanistan and destabilize Afghanistan, create a scene where the Afghans start fighting each other again. That causes instability. They love instability in areas where they want to control, because instability means that they're not going to be able to get their heads straight about what their objectives are, which is to fight the Taghut and to get stronger and to do things the way they want. The Afghan people should be strong, and they are. They need to get stronger, they need to develop themselves more and more, independently, learning from whoever they choose to learn from in terms of how to develop their industries, their medical fields, their medical industries, whatever they want to, they need to get strong. It's a choice they need to make. And how they're going to do it, they need to make that. We have whatever our responsibility helping them, but they need to do that. It's their land. They want to take care of it. They need to take care of it the way they want to, and they can. If they have stability, if they're left alone, everybody just leave them alone. Let them be. Oh, they'll develop their country more than and better than a lot of other countries. The U.S. doesn't want that. The U.S. wants instability. Same with Pakistan. All these terrorist attacks you see, they blame it on this sector, that sector, this group, they created that group. Yes, it's Saudi money. The Saudis are stupid. The government, we're talking of obviously not people, those, I don't want to use any, there's many terms that can be used and they are really worthy of being called those names, but we don't want to get the minbar dirty with their titles. But they're too stupid and too dumb to plan these things. It's just their money, their big money bags. U.S. gets them to spend money here and there, create divisions, disputes, fights, people killing each other. That's what they want, that instability. Because if Pakistan is also left alone, you don't have these problems. Pay this guy in the intelligence, that guy in the government, that guy in the military, and create issues. Everybody's, well, people are never going to be able to develop themselves. These Abu Alis, these Shayateen, this is what they do. In Afghanistan, they wanted to do that. Many of the believers in Afghanistan, one way or another, realized this with the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the other mu'mineen. They were able to realize this. The Americans left, there was no bloodshed. Whatever it is, okay, whoever's stronger, they're not stronger, how we're going to do this, or we're not going to do this. Different people are doing it. Whatever we want to do, we can't enter a civil war. We can't start army. The U.S. did many things. If you go back months ago, they started blowing up on the media, social media, oh, Hazaras are being killed. Hazaras need to arm themselves. This was to create division. This was to create this feeling that, oh, Hazaras, yes, Hazaras have been oppressed. Yes, there's no question about that. They have been in different places. That's not something that can be disputed. But when the Western media is pumping that, when they have their channels, Haj Qasim's picture is omitted. You can't have that. Haj Abu Mahdi, you can't have that. Hezbollah, you can't have that. But anything regarding Hazaras being oppressed, you can have that. There's something involved here. There's a reason behind these things. They wanted to incite fear, incite hate in the different ethnicities against one another in Afghanistan to create it. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped. The believers have realized they didn't engage in that. They haven't engaged in fighting each other and killing each other, so on and so forth. That hasn't happened. The Americans were caught by surprise. They were sure that this is going to work. They were absolutely sure this was going to work. Their surprise is not that Taliban took over. Whatever that means, we're yet to see what that means. There's different things that are being said. I want to remind, Amir al-Mu'mineen says that there's the difference between haq and batil is the eye and the ear. Be careful. What are you trusting? Where is it coming from? Is your image of Taliban what the West has given you? Or is it really what they are? What is Taliban doing exactly? This is the area that is not clear. I'm not going to speak on that. I don't know. Taliban's history, what we saw in the media was horrible. How much of it was Taliban? Who was Taliban? Is it just the name that's shared? I don't know those things. I don't know enough to be able to comment on those. And I didn't see Sayyid Hassan, for instance, mention anything regarding that detail. I don't know. When things start happening, one of the things that we're seeing is against what they're saying that the Taliban were doing, oh, killing Shias, Hazaras are going to be killed. No, the Hazara gatherings in Kabul and other regions, the non-Hazara Shias that are having Muharram programs, Taliban attended them, said, no, you're our brothers, you do your thing, we don't have anything against you guys doing it. We don't do it, you guys do it, you're under our protection, we're not going to cause any issues. No issues whatsoever. That means what they're saying is not right. They're lying about this. What is it, though? What's the full deal? I don't know exactly. I don't know who the Taliban really are. We're yet to see. When we get clarity, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a hujjah where we can rely on, say, okay, this informed person said these words, and so we can trust that. This informed channel that is trustworthy is providing this information, not whatever's on the media. They put a couple images together, a couple words together. As Amir al-Mu'mineen says, لو كان الباطل خلاص لم يخف على ذي حجة. If batil and lies were constantly and only given, everyone would be able to tell. Anyone that has even the slightest level of intelligence, they would be able to tell that these are a bunch of lies. And if it was لو كان الحق خلاص, if it was only haq and the truth, then there would be no dispute. ولكن يؤخذ من هذا ضغط ومن هذا ضغط فيمزجان فهنالك استحوذ الشيطان على أوليائه. Rather, part of this haq and part of that batil are taken and then mixed up. It's truths and lies, and it becomes very blurry. Let's not forget that that's what they want. They present that all these lies. Be very careful. What is clear coming from sources that can be trusted, not sources that mix haq and batil and presented. They put a piece of this. The clip is true, but it's not about what is being said. The caption has nothing to do with the image. Or the images are true in the sense of, yeah, the camera caught that. It's not photoshopped on the computer. But what they caught was a play. They acted something out in front of the camera. They've done that plenty of times. Muawiyah did that at his time. There were no cameras, but he did it in his own way. These abalis and shayateen will definitely do it. Be careful of what is being said. So anyhow, what has happened is they tried through inciting fear and hatred between the various ethnicities in Afghanistan with the Hazara thing that they did over there and with building up Taliban in the eyes of people to be a certain way and then the government in a different way. They just went around all this work to try to create this war within the borders of Afghanistan and then say, well, yeah, they're at war and we're going to be helping the Afghan government. No, they realized that, no, that didn't happen. Their president left, the president that was supported by the U.S. against the will of the people. That president was not the will of the Afghan people. They supported this man. He left, he fled, it's gone. In these conditions, they're caught by surprise. They were very surprised, and I don't think that could be hidden. It's very obvious. But they're surprised at this. Recently, today or yesterday, you heard that Daesh has had a big explosion, created a big explosion. Americans are killed over there. What is this in this context? What is happening here? Daesh was an American creation. That's publicly documented. If anybody has any doubts regarding that, please be a little less naive. Go research your things and find information on this and rely on trustworthy sources that are pious. The leader mentioned this on multiple occasions. They have various intelligence sources that have seen plenty of things, and plenty of things have been reported and documented. If you accidentally you parachute a whole bunch of supplies to your troops and then it ends up with Daesh, it happens once, you're like, okay, you know, well, maybe you guys need to move your troops a little further away or calculate. I know you do a lot of calculations. You made a mistake. Okay, do it in a way next time where it doesn't land where Daesh is. It lands where your troops are. But when it happens, when publicly it happens 5-6 times, that's no longer an accident. Why doesn't your equipment accidentally end with Hashd al-Sha'bi? Why does your equipment never accidentally ends up with Hezbollah? How come your equipment never accidentally goes on the other side of the border to the Islamic Republic? Why is it that whenever it's in those areas, it's a bomb that's killing people? Only towards Daesh? Oh, it accidentally landed. Not one time, 5-6 times documented on media. That they couldn't, their controlled media could not hide this. Daesh is their creation. Social media provided for them as a platform to get out their nasty material, horrific material, giving a bad name to Islam, all these different aims that they had. It's all they're doing, the CIA is doing. Then when they were done in Syria, Haj Qasim and Haj Abu Mahdi and Haj Sayyid Hasan Nasrullah defeated them over there. The leader mentioned this a few years ago, that they're moving Daesh to Afghanistan. They are moving Daesh to Afghanistan. They did that. And you started seeing explosions here and there. They saw nothing else, no faction within Afghanistan that is recognized, neither the government nor the Taliban, nor the Hazaras, nor the other ethnic backgrounds are falling for their tricks to start fighting each other. Yes, they have their differences and they need to sit down and figure out what they want to do with their country. All of them are Afghans. All Afghanis are Afghanis. All Afghanistanis are Afghanistan. Anyone within those borders, they're the people of that land. It's their home. Haratis and Kabulis and Balkhis and what have you. All these various Mazaris, these are all people of this country. You need to sit down yourselves and without fighting. Yeah, you have differences. So the guy says, we need to do it this way. Our people need some of this as well. All the resources need to be shared. That's how it needs to happen. But fighting, war, they saw none of these factions are falling for that. Alhamdulillah. They started tweaking this Daesh, their own creation. Like, okay, you need to kill some of us. The CIA, this is not the first time they've done this. This is not the first time they've done this. Killing their own folks to create a reason, a justification for something. We don't know yet. I still haven't seen what it is that they're working towards. But since Daesh is their creation, after all these things failed, suddenly Daesh pops up. Daesh that Taliban fought. Taliban has fought Daesh in Afghanistan. ISIS was fought by Taliban in Afghanistan. They pop up where the Americans were in control of. And then they have an explosion. A terrorist act, as they call it. And American troops are killed. What they're fixing to do with this, I don't know. And I think right now they're in a condition of Al-Ghariq yatashabbath bikulli hashish, as is said in Arabic, the proverb in Arabic, that the person who's drowning will grab a hold of whatever they can find. They don't think too much. Right now, that's the situation of the U.S. in Afghanistan. They're drowning, and they're just grabbing a hold of anything. I don't know if they've really thought this through, but inshallah, this will fail as well. We all need to be vigilant. We all need to be aware of our conditions. See a couple of pictures. Remember back in the days, maybe it's been 10 years, I forget how long ago it was. They started putting out all these images that in Para Chinar, Shias are being killed. They had cut limbs and stuff, pictures going around. That was to incite certain feelings in the people and create infighting. Those are the reasons. And then people are like, oh yeah, Shias, we're Shias, let's send this around. What's the purpose of that? Don't do what, as Ayatollah Khamenei mentioned in the story of Karbala, this is one of the problems we have in Karbala. A lot of people are what he referred to as awam. Awam are people that don't really think what they do. They just do it and then later on they're like, oh, this is what it was. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad la'anatullah alayh, Yazid has sent him to become the governor of Kufa. He covers his face and he enters the city. These stupid people, oh, Hussein ibn Ali is here. Who said it's Hussein ibn Ali? Everybody started chanting, As-salamu alayki ibn Rasulullah. Escorted him to Darul Imara. He went on top of Darul Imara, removed his face covered. I want to beat the heck out of you people. You sent letters to Hussein ibn Ali? Escorted Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. This is stupidity. You don't know what you're doing. You do things and you realize, oh my God, now what do? We just escorted Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. He's going to destroy us. They pump something. The other thing is these so-called Muslims in Western China. This whole thing is a Zionist plot. Like, oh, the Chinese government. Yeah, the Chinese government is not a Muslim government, of course. Why are the Americans caring for the Muslims now? Don't you ever think that there's a problem with that? Why are the Zionists who are killing Muslimin and they don't give a damn about how many Muslim women and children of whatever age they kill in whatever part of the Muslim world? They supplied gas to some Muslimin, this Mal'un Saddam that called himself a Muslim. He wasn't. To gas other Muslimin, the Kurds within the Iraqi borders, and the Iranians on the other side of the border, they supplied it. Now they're concern about Muslims. You're hating on Islam, publishing cartoons without any justification, only because you hate Islam and the Prophet of Islam and the ideology of Islam. You guys are concerned about Muslimin being taken to camps and forced outside of Islam to be pushed away from Islam? You care about that? What is this naive Muslimin going around? Oh yeah, we support the Chinese Muslims. The Chinese Muslims are living in peace. This group, there is a group that calls itself Muslim in Western China, whose leader is in the U.S., working with the U.S. against the Chinese government, using the Muslim card, and the U.S. is supporting them not because they're Muslim, but because they're working with them. The same way that Osama bin Laden was supported in Afghanistan against the Soviets because they're doing what they want. Whether Osama bin Laden is Muslim even or not, whatever he is. Let's support them. There's Muslims all over. Just check even the food channels on YouTube. They randomly go to, you see, oh my God, these are all muhajjaba. What happened? I thought China, they were all in concentration camps. No. No. It's not true. They're showing that stuff and showing the stuff they have created. How much of that is their acts and stuff that they have recorded and put up online? You don't know. Don't speak about that when you don't know. This is the fact of what's going on in Western China. Something comes up, another explosion. Daesh attacks Hazaras. Like, oh, Hazaras are mazloom and so on and so forth. What happens? Another fiasco against the Pakistani government. Well, the Pakistani government didn't have anything to do with Daesh. Pakistani government, whatever deficiencies they have, yes, the Hazaras maybe need more attention. Whatever that is, that's fine. But using when Daesh attacks them, Daesh, that is an American creation, we use this to create disputes between other Muslimin and then we support that. What is this, brothers, sisters? We need to stop being awam. We need to stop being people who don't really think. Just do, oh, this thing is big, hyped up on the media. Yeah, I want to be activist as well. Put up pictures. We support you. This. Well, I'm sorry. If you want to act like that, you're just like that. They thought, people of Kufa thought they're supporting Hussein ibn Ali walking in. They wrote letters. Now Hussein come. Oh, yeah, Hussein ibn Allahu Akbar. He's coming. Even the ones who didn't write letters, like, yeah, he's here. Like, okay, let's go. Let's go behind this guy. And they realized, oh my God, what did we do? We got to stop doing this. This is one of the lessons of Ashura. One of the lessons that is an ibrah, as it is called. An ibrah is something wrong happening. You want to learn from that so you don't do it again. This is the ibrah of Ashura of Karbala. If we are going to be awam, if we are going to be people that are naive, or easily swayed one way or another, especially with the complex media and opinion-forming institutions and organizations and think tanks and media and Hollywood and everything that they have created to form the opinion of the masses, the public, Muslims and otherwise, whoever they want to target. We cannot be naive. We cannot be on top of this. We cannot read into their plots. We cannot not read into their plots and just fall for it and go with it. And with Afghanistan, we pray that the believers, the signs are telling me from the parts that I am sure, there's areas that I just don't have access to information. But there are certain things I am seeing that's very clear. We do have access to information. Alhamdulillah, the plots of the Americans has not worked in Afghanistan. The Soviets were kicked out, alhamdulillah. Now the Americans have been kicked out. Inshallah, what we pray is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us. Now particularly we're talking about Afghanistan, the believers in Afghanistan, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to what's best for them. They can control their own country. They can settle with one another, sit with one another as brothers and sisters, work with one another, identify what's best for their common interest. Everybody share all the resources, Nobody be oppressed and resources taken away from them to be given to some other individual, some other ethnicity, some other family, some other whatever. They need to do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help these people who have been mazloom for many, many, not decades, I think it's more than decades, maybe centuries, with the British one way, the Russians before the Soviets another, the Soviets and now the Americans. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all mu'mineen and mu'minat. Many of Muslim lands, unfortunately, one way or another, is like this. Pakistan, one way. The Muslimin, mu'mineen in India, another way. In Myanmar, the Muslimin there have been suffering a different way. Malaysia, Indonesia, they have their issues that they're dealing with. Mu'mineen, mu'minat are not free to do as they realize Islam tells them, although they are the majority there, the dominant majority. There's issues, unfortunately, in most of the Muslim lands. This is going all the way in the Philippines, in other countries, in the Arab world, in North Africa, in the African countries, all these issues that we're seeing. Somalia one way, Ethiopia another way, Sudan in a different way, Libya, Tunisia, Nigeria, all these. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Imam of our time, as we near the time of his zuhur, where we are able to see him, that he helps all Muslimin, Muslimat, Mu'mineen, Mu'minat to come together, to find the path of Allah, to move in that direction, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us that victory, and that we see the coming of the Mahdi, and we join him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all. Sallallahu alayk, ya Abu Abdullah. Sallallahu alayk, ya Mazloob. أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Hussein. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ruhi fidaka ya Mawla. Ya Abu Abdullah. Let's try to join the caravan of Imam al-Hussein's family, led by Imam Zainul Abidin, commanded by the Lady Zainab. روحي فداكم يا أهل بيت النبوة روحي فداك يا زينب. Every day and every night Lady Zainab has to be the one who reminds everyone when the memories of Karbala try to overtake them, when the mothers remember their young ones that they lost in Karbala. Zainab salamullahi alayha gives reminders, tries to soothe their pains. Zainab salamullahi alayha, in the absence of Imam al-Husayn, under the leadership of Imam زين العابدين tries to help the children with their pains and difficulties. Ya Zainab, how strong you were. Who was there to soothe your pains? Who was there when you had pains? When you remembered your beloved brother in Karbala, when you arrived on Tell al-Zainabiyya and saw what words cannot describe. You saw the mal'oon with his boots on the chest of your beloved Hussein. When you remember your loss, your beloved brother, who's there to soothe your pains? When you would see the three-year-old daughter of Hussein missing her father, being beaten by the soldiers, wondering what can be done, the pain of just watching that, as much as she would want to get in the way. Perhaps remembering her mother, Fatima al-Zahra, and asking her for help. Maybe that's how her pains were soothed. Maybe that's how she was able to go through all that pain. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك والله send the return of our imam allow us to be of his true and close companions يا الله allow us to see his ظهور يا الله help all those who are helping his cause especially the mujahideen of the Muslim Ummah, wherever they stand, wherever they fight, especially the ulama who are leading them, the maraja, and above all, our leader, Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world, Ya Allah. Grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. Ya Allah, relieve all those who are suffering from this hardship, this pandemic. Relieve all believers from the hardships and difficulties they're dealing with. Ya Allah, relieve all the people of the world of the pandemic. Ya Allah, relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alih rahimallah. أن قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات